This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is the Greek Rebetiko Trio.
Στην Ελλάδα δεν μπορώ μια γυναίκα για να βρω. Έχει όμορφες πολλές, μα είναι μάνα μου φτωχές. Εγώ θέλω πριγκίπεσσα από το Μαρόκο μέσα. Να κυλήρα με ουρά, να γίνε καμιά φορά. Πέρσι πέρασα από εδώ και ψάχνε να βρει γαμπρό. Χωρίς να το ξέρω εγώ, μάνα μου να σε χαρώ. Είδε κάτω στον Περέα, στου Τζελέπι με παρέα. Κι από τότε μ' αγαπά και μου στέλνει και λεφτά.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today by phone with Dimitris Mann. How are you doing?
I'm fine, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. And as I have told listeners in the past, by the time they hear this, by the time it reaches their ears, it will hopefully not sound so much like we were talking by phone, because we'll use a little magic technology to make it sound like we're in the same room, or at least in closer proximity than we really are. And Dimitris, are you calling from Los Angeles?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, well, great. And we're going to be speaking to Dimitris primarily about the Greek Rebetiko Trio and his work with that group. So you're based out of Los Angeles. I know you're originally from Mykonos Island in Greece. So before we even get into the music, let's talk about where you're from, because I want to know more about Mykonos Island. And I know a lot of our listeners will want to hear about that too. Just kind of give us a little bit of the taste and the flavors and colors and sounds of Mykonos Island.
Well, it's a very beautiful island. It's one of the most popular tourist destinations worldwide, I think. It's known as the party island, but there's so much more than that. Of course, during the full season, there's a lot of bars and clubs and beach bars and, you know, intense nightlife. But if you want to get lost in that island and in a way that go to places that nobody can see you and just be alone in a almost private-like beach, you can do that as well. That's one of the things I really love. And of course, great food. The sea is unbelievable. I don't know what else to say. I didn't have the opportunity to visit this summer, and I'm really bummed. But, you know, work is going well, so I can't complain.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, about that food. Let's go back to that food. So let's get into Rebetiko music. And as we were saying before the interview started, I think we're probably going to be giving a little bit of history and perspective about this music that our listeners probably have heard before, but maybe didn't know specifically what it was called. So let's just dive right into Rebetiko music and take us to school.
So Rebetiko music, or Rebetika, which is plural, often also referred to as sound of the underground or the Greek blues, is a form of Greek urban folk music that originated between the 1920s and 1950s. After that, the urban folk music of the 50s and 60s is usually referred to as laiko. The word Rebetiko derives from the adjective rebetis, which was used to describe a person with aspects of character, behavior, even dress, associated with a particular culture or subculture. And the earliest source of the word to date is from a Greek-Latin dictionary, where the word rebitos is defined as a wanderer. Rebetika as a genre were always songs of protest against a very conservative era. And it was for many a way of life. That's why it also describes a person associates with the attire. Mm-hmm. They were also dressed a certain way. And they were supposed to be tough guys. Most of them were carrying guns or knives because they lived in the underground. They were outlaws. And when I say conservative era, we're talking about an era where the whole music was banned by dictator Ioannis Metaxas. So you were not allowed to play this music freely in Greece.
Wow.
That's why I think one of the reasons why Rebetiko is still very popular today is because of that character, that rebellious character. Mm-hmm. In terms of music, the musical base of the genre is a synthesis of elements of Greek music from the mainland and islands, Byzantine music, European music, and of course the modal scales or makam of Ottoman music. One of the events that really sparked the creation of the genre was the resettlement of over 1.5 million Greek refugees after the Greco-Turkish War. So yeah, it starts way back. The immigrants definitely were the ones that gave the spark. And that's when the most significant era of the genre began. Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Demetrius Mann, calling us from Los Angeles, although he sounds like he would just as well be in his hometown of Mykonos, or his homeland of Mykonos Island in Greece, which I think many of our listeners would just as soon be there right now or at any time when they think of Mykonos Island. We talked a little bit about...
We should do the next interview there.
Yes, in person.
We should both go to Mykonos for the next interview.
Yes, yeah. And I want it to be in person. I want to go there. One of my next questions was going to be, you know, for our listeners' sake, in what context culturally in the United States would people be able to say, oh, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this kind of music. And I would think one of the things that Americans most think of when they think of Greek music is they think of Greek dancing, and it's, you know, very popular with a lot of folks whether it's, you know, the kind of almost a stereotype in the Greek weddings.
Yes, that's absolutely true. You're definitely right. Back then, though, when we say that we play strictly rebetika, there wasn't much dancing going on. Rebetika would primarily be heard in the tekedes. The word teke is of Turkish origin, and it means a place of rest or support. In Greek culture, it was the meeting point of these people, of the underground and the rebetes. And it was a place where people would consume alcohol. They did drugs, a lot of that. And they listened to live music. So usually the dances that we had there would be zeybekika, danced by one person. We didn't have many different group dances. Mm. The evolution of that, after the 40s and 50s, when we had laiko, that introduced the party aspect, if you wish, and we had a lot more of the group dancing. But as we know, in Greek folk music, the so-called dimotika, which is actually one of the oldest folk music genres of folk music in Europe, that was created with group dancing in mind. A lot of the times you had the dance created first and then the songs. Mm. And in that case, we don't know much about who created the songs because they did it collectively.
Oh.
They wrote the lyrics all together around the table or while they were dancing. So it's a totally different mentality when it comes to that genre of music. Okay.
Ψήλα εκεί πάνω, ρίξε λιγάκι του μπέκι, Θεούλη μου, στον αργύλε μου απάνω. Ρίξε λιγάκι του μπέκι, Θεούλη μου, στον αργύλε μου απάνω. Ψήλα στις εκκλησιές τις ρογγύλες καμάρες άρχισα με τις ντουμάνιες σε ουλί μου σαν να ήταν λαμπάδες άρχισα με τις ντουμάνιες σε ουλί μου σαν να ήταν λαμπάδες. Να σου κι ο Αϊσπυρίδωνας με τα σπρά του τα γένια σου ρίχνω μια ντουμανιά, Θεούλη μου, ξερνέται στα γέλια. Σου ρίχνω μια ντουμανιά, Θεούλη μου, ξερνέται στα γέλια. Αρχίζει το ντουμάνι, φώναξε τους άγγελους σου, Θεούλη μου, να πουν τον ανινάνι. Φώναξε τους άγγελους σου, Θεούλη μου, να πουν τον ανινάνι.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Demetrius Mann. I'm thinking that perhaps for this episode of the program, perhaps I should introduce myself as John Floridis, since the guest on the other end knows the correct pronunciation or the original pronunciation of my last name.
And the actual pronunciation, to make it even longer and more unpronounceable, would be Ioannis Floridis.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. Demetrius, what I wanted to ask next and get into a little bit was, we've gone into a pretty extensive introduction and history of the music and the culture that goes behind this music, rebetiko music. Talk to me about how it came into your life and got to be something that you took on as part of your musical journey.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, one of the things that really sparked rebetiko as a genre was the resettlement of the Greek refugees. And my paternal grandparents were both refugees from Constantinople, or Istanbul, and Antalya. So growing up, I used to hear the stories about their early life in Piraeus, the music, the popular rebetes that used to hang out at my grandfather's barbershop. He owned a barbershop right opposite the Piraeus port and very close to the church Agios Dionysius. And of course, my grandmother's uncle, Giannis Papaioannou, who was one of the greatest rebetika songwriters. It was actually when I discovered a box of his original 78, like vinyl records, Forgotten in the Attic, that I really got intrigued by the genre, and I wanted to learn more about the music and the tequedes. These underground places really fascinated me, the fact that they were forced to meet in secrecy in order to play this music, since rebetiko was banned by dictator Metaxas. That really fascinated me, and I started trying to find out more information about the genre, listening to more music. And a friend of mine actually gave me my first bouzouki as a gift. And that's how I started playing. I started studying classical piano and theory since I was 6 years old. So knowing the basics of music theory, I was able to teach myself how to play the bouzouki, the guitar, and, you know, some percussion and some other instruments. So that's how I started playing the bouzouki, and I started trying to find all the obscure rebetika, the ones that perhaps were lost through time. Hmm. To me, it's about reviving a genre that, without us doing that, it might at some point die. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very old at this point. So that's how I was introduced to that. And I've been doing this digging for the obscures ever since. Every time I go back to Greece, I'll go to Monastiraki, which has all the shops with the vinyl records, and go down to the basement where it's all dusty. And I'll go through the vinyl records trying to find the few ones that I've never heard of, and just take it home and listen to it and maybe share it with the band, and trying to include that to our repertoire. That's what I like to do.
Before we get any further, maybe for the younger listeners, we should go back and explain what a 78 is. A 78 being a vinyl, I think, you know, it's coming back into popularity again. But 78s being referring to the speed at which the vinyl, and which alone is rare, you know, to find 78s. So just wanted to make that clear.
I didn't have a turntable to listen to. To listen these on, because my modern turntable could not play these ones. They were only played by a gramophone.
Sure.
So I found them and I jokingly said to my grandmother, I was, oh, great. Now all I have to do is go buy a gramophone. And she has a piece of furniture in the kitchen that I always thought it was something like a shelving unit, with a small cabinet in the lower part. And she said, well, I have a gramophone right here. I had absolutely no idea, because you have to lift the top and then the gramophone is hidden inside. You have to lift it up. And that was the first time in my life I realized she had a gramophone in her kitchen. I started listening to these records.
Demetrius, we talked a little bit about the trio, and that's obviously a big focus of what you're doing, and both as a musician and also as kind of an ambassador for the music, I think. But I know that that's only a part of what you do. Just talk a little bit about some of the other projects and some of the other things that you have going on in the musical world.
I came to the U.S. to study music. I went to Berklee College of Music. I wanted to study composition for media, and I was really lucky and very determined. A year before I graduated, I was able to get in touch with Hans Zimmer, who's one of the most successful film composers of all time.
Oh, yeah. I'll say.
Yeah, he's done movies like Inception, Interstellar, Pirates of the Caribbean, Lion King, Rain Man, the list just goes on and on. So I've had the opportunity to do music for a lot of different TV shows. I did an action drama thriller that airs on Stars called Insomnia. I just recently finished doing music for the second consecutive season of 60 Days In, which is an A&E show, as part of a great team, of course. A few other documentaries. I did an episode for the very successful documentary series Nova. I just finished working on a documentary about the video games company Riot Games and their video game League of Legends, which is an unbelievably successful video game. In the documentary, it says that more than 1% of the world's population played that game at some point.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was crazy. I never played that game, but everybody around me used to play that game. My friends, my younger cousins, and they call it LOL, apparently. So everybody was, I didn't know if it's LOL, the abbreviation for laughing out loud, the video game. Uh-huh. All I heard for a couple of years was LOL this, LOL that. So yeah, anyway, I had a great time working on that one. Mostly I work as a composer and a sound designer. So the Greek music is my hobby. Hmm. It's what I do when I want to relax.
Oh, interesting.
And everybody makes fun of me because, you know, my hobby still has to do with music.
Yeah. Well, in a very specific.
But for me, it's a way to get in touch with my culture, you know, and my roots. And there are times where living in the U.S., you have that feeling. Although I wanted to leave Greece and come live to the States and, you know, study and work like crazy. It's a dream coming true for me. But there are days, of course, that you wake up and you miss home. And playing Greek music really does the trick for me. Like, it helps me get in touch with what I've left back home.
This is John Floridis, or as I'm saying for this particular episode, Yannis Floridis, host of Musician Spotlight, and we're speaking with Demetris Mann. I'm going to refer listeners to your website, which is demetrismann.com, and that is D-I-M-I-T-R-I-S. Mann has two N's, M-A-N-N, demetrismann.com. Demetris, thanks so much for making time to be a guest on Musician Spotlight, and I hope that the next time we get to do an interview, it's on Mykonos Island, and we can record it there and play it for people later after we have a great time on the island.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure. I really hope we get to do that. I will actively pursue that. I'll hold you to it.
Sounds fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Demetris Mann of the Greek Rebetiko Trio. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Montana Folk Festival for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.